Okay. It is 3:06, and I'd like to bring the Environmental Services Advisory Committee, Waste Diversion Collections and Education Subcommittee to order. Roll call. Like I said, Fred's not here. Margot.
I'm present.
Doug.
Here.
Trevor. And Chris Yarder present. All right. Good afternoon, Christina.
Hi, sorry I was late. I
No,
had a
you've had a busy time. So we're to item two for the Murph report.
Share my screen. You see it?
Yes.
Okay. So, looks like prices dropped a little bit. We did have a tour of the Murph last week. And we were kind of had been curious why our prices for our plastics were the same. And it was confirmed that everything is going to the Republic Services polymer facility in Las Vegas. We have invited them to come and talk to ESAC about the facility, just so you can hear more about it. But basically, what they're doing is they're able to turn the plastics into plastic flakes, and so it creates a more circular process where before, a plastic bottle might have been made into a carpet or a fleece jacket or something, but beyond that, it, wasn't going to be recycled any further. But with this process, a plastic bottle can get made into another plastic bottle and then be recycled again and again. So it does create a more circular loop. But anyhow, we have invited them to come and speak to you all so that you can hear more about it.
They'll
But
come. Will they come to full ESAC?
well, I mean, do you want them to come to full ESAC or to the waste the subcommittee?
Well, I think this is kind of stuff that everybody'd want to know.
Okay,
And
whichever you would
we
like.
can talk about that. What do the rest of you think?
Well, what's interesting in the Circular Arizona newsletter of last time, I think it was, maybe the time before, it pointed out that in Buckeye, they are building a plant which
Yeah.
is going to make trays for under the meat and all these kinds of things from the flakes that are coming from Las Vegas. So I think the fact that it's a new kind of economic development is something that we should go to the full ESAC because it
Yeah.
really is, as Christina is saying, it's more than just taking them and make something else. But at the end of that, if those trays are recycled and come out in the MRF, then it will go again to this advanced, very advanced sorting, which, as you can see, they take it all mixed together. And so they don't have to do this careful sorting down at the MRF anymore because now they take it to Las Vegas and it's done by number, it's done by color, and other such things. And that way they can deliver these flakes. You can get black flakes or blue flakes or white flakes or clear flakes or whatever it is from the particular material. You order what you want. And then it goes to another plant. And this time they're the one they're opening, working that I read about the groundbreaking. And it's Republic with another company that does this. So it's a joint venture.
Right. And it's a, fairly new technology, and
Yes.
it just kind of shows, that recycling is just going in some di real different directions. And I think, it's all really promising. I mean, just
Creative.
trying to move toward more circularity, because plastics was just something that, I mean, it could be made into to new things, but it wasn't necessarily recyclable and recyclable and recyclable as glasses and aluminum. So, but yeah, I, really like for you all to hear directly from them. So, but any
So,
questions about the report? So
um,
our,
okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say our collections are down from
Yeah,
1,000
yeah.
to 2,100 tons to 1,700 tons,
Yeah.
and but the money seems to be holding
Yeah,
pretty
and
well.
I just think that, as I look back, every time it goes down, I look back and see, is it a trend or is it, it's always kind of been an up and down thing. It doesn't, it's not like it's, keeps going down, down,
Well,
down.
less penalty for mixed glass.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
I mean, that went down.
You
So.
know, and I will tell you, I mean, with the bifusion, we still see a lot of people putting their good plastics in those
I
bins.
wonder.
We went to grab some stuff from there just for our Halloween decorations, and somebody had a hefty bag, which is what we want, right? But it was filled with PET bottles.
Oh.
And they say right on them, no PET, no plastic bottles. So, yeah.
Well, from the discussions in my class, there's so much confusion about plastics. And I think when you come next week, Christine will have that kind of discussion with them. I think you'll find it interesting the feedback about how the people, this is a group of 12 people, intelligent people who want to do the right thing, how they're feeling about this plastic recycling and what their experience is.
Well,
I think we need to think about that, just like in the election, we need to analyze what's the message that's being heard, not necessarily the message we're putting out, and what we can learn from that.
as we know that the project was presented to people without much background research or anything, and got people all excited, and there were just a lot of questions that were never answered, and we all found out about it later. So,
And
well,
upset. A lot of people still don't like it, and they're still putting stuff in what? The regular trash bags and white bags, or I mean plastic, and then throwing plastic in by itself. So
it's mostly that there's it takes a level of sorting which people are not fully aware of, and that's why I'm talking about the education piece. I mean, I think yes, it's on the bag, but then you have to read the bag, and the bag isn't that clear. I mean, if you pull open the bag, the printing on it doesn't jump out at you. It's kind of soft.
yeah, it's on the box though, and then
Yeah, it is.
we yeah.
But anyway, I'm just saying that
Yeah, no,
I think there's a lot of education. I wish we had one person whose full-time job was to do education on plastics. There's just so much that needs to be done.
Well, we're going to be doing a town hall next week at Ward 2, and we're going to do
On
your
that.
class. And I'm going to at Armory Park Neighborhood Association on Tuesday. Yeah.
We've always been good going to the neighborhood associations, so
But,
we just need two of you, or maybe even three.
there are four.
Four.
I vote for four of them. Of course, Christina.
But I think a lot of it is, people got excited and were told one thing that wasn't quite right, and they never heard directly from that other group that this was not the right thing to do.
Right.
And it's
Yeah, because Steve wasn't there anymore, so.
but it's also complicated. I mean, it now requires two different, one bag for the Hefty for the film, another, putting the plastics into something else, putting the glass into a third thing. That's partly what I hear too, is that it just takes a lot more work to separate things more. Not that that shouldn't be done, but it just takes, even in my family, I constantly going through the trash and pulling things out, and believe me, they've all been lectured too many times. So
No, I know.
that's, it's just part of life. It's part of what you just got to keep at it.
It was really interesting today at our luncheon. One of the Circular Arizona board members who works for Chandler was saying that one of her colleagues who works for wastewater was saying, "I keep getting tags on my recycling. What's the issue?" And she said, "Well, what tag is it?" He said, "It's a pink one." She said, "Because you're putting plastic bags." And he said, "Well, why is that a problem?" And he says that they say they're recyclable.
Oh
They
my
say on there that they're recyclable. So why can't? And she said, "Well, that it causes all these problems at the recycling facility." And he was going to argue with her. And she said, "Well, I guess I'll just start putting flushable wipes in the toilet." And he said, "Well, and she said, "They say right on the box they're flushable."
Right.
And then he just said, "Point taken."
Remember that one, Christina. That'll be a good one to use when you go to the neighborhood. So, all right. Was that all you wanted to say about Murph?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to item three, for the public outreach update. And
Well,
we know you've been pretty busy.
we have been very, very busy. So, we've been doing all the Halloween things, and then last week we had the tour of the sustainability campus and the MRF. We were overbooked, so I had to get a bigger bus. We had 57 seats on the bus, and Brittany was great because she was thinking fast. We had to ask a few people to get off the bus, and she took them separately in one of the
The
city
van.
SUVs
Good.
so that we would have enough room. But that we had like 60, 61 people on the tour. I think, they all had a lot of good questions, so it was good. I did hear on the tour from the people at the MRF that they would like to talk with us about updating some of the stuff. So we'll be having that conversation. Saturday we had our zero waste collection event.
Yes.
Most biggest turnout so far. We had 528 cars come through. Beacon, Evolve with the e-waste, Goodwill, they all filled up and had to kind of leave a little early. Oh, Brittany's sharing some of our Halloween.
Oh, cool.
Yes, and our tour.
So you decorated for the tour?
No, that was for our Boo Bash and our trunk or
Oh, that's
treat.
right, Boo Bash. Oh, great.
And
Oh, that's cute.
the tour, yeah, the big bus. It was amazing going on those thin little roads when it's such a tall bus. As you can see,
Oh, that is. That's
But
yeah.
so people would got out and looked around, and the MRF I hadn't been back. I decided since I had been there for the opening, and so I was amazed that the education room upstairs has gotten very filled with offices. So it was quite cramped, and we mostly got as a talk and very little time really to look at
Just watch.
to look at the belts, and they didn't really explain the belts at all. They just gave us the general talk about recycling and how it goes through these things. But here you see some of the people standing and looking at cell
Huh.
or
B.
C, isn't it?
Yeah. Or B.
For B. So here you see how it's tall. The young man who gave the talk was very enthusiastic, so he was very I would say easy to listen to. He kept you involved. Some of the people around me later said they didn't like it that he had to keep asking Christina questions. Should I do, is this what we do, or is that what we do? They thought. You can see Christina there in the corner.
Well, there have been some changes, and he's not as familiar with the Hefty program, and I mean, I think other than that, he's very
Oh,
well versed.
I thought he was good, and that, as I say, he was very lively. I asked the people around me how they heard about this, and the news net was their big was the big draw, which is how they heard about it. And they are just older people who just go on lots of things, take opportunities to learn more about the city. They'd been here a couple of years. I thought that
Cool.
was pretty cool.
Today, Lisa and I both gave talks for Circular Arizona, the Southern Arizona Connection meeting. And she did on the food cycle at home, and I did about our zero waste event. And as I mentioned, I'm doing Armory Park, Ward 2, and what else next week?
Well,
Lost
you're
it.
coming to see my
Oh
class next.
yeah, and we're doing your class. And then I think I'm going to take a little bit of a breather, hopefully.
He's really
Okay.
well. And then what, the Family Fun Fest, what do they do for that?
That's, oh gosh, is that next weekend, Brittany? It
Oh,
is.
the 16th.
Yes.
Yes.
And we usually do a craft,
Okay.
some kind of recycled craft.
Reindeers out of corks.
I have done that, Margot.
Yes, I know.
This year I always skip Thanksgiving craft, so I'm trying to do Thanksgiving. Like I always do a Christmas craft, and then Thanksgiving comes. I'm like, why didn't I pick a Thanksgiving craft? So I'm collecting toilet paper rolls around the department. So I'm gonna do some sort of turkey project with toilet
Good.
paper rolls. How old
Wonderful.
are the kids that come to that? My granddaughter's only two, so she's probably too young.
No, we have a variety, probably from any kids from 2 to 10.
Oh.
So, but I don't know how much toilet paper rolls I've collected so far.
Bring
I'm hoping the building six is, I should have made it a contest, hopefully building six is, that box is full out there.
Bring your own toilet paper rolls.
Yes, I went around to a couple of my boxes to empty them out, so we'll see. I gotta send out another reminder email.
So where do you go at Los Reales with the Family Fun Fest?
The Family Fun Fest is actually at Reed Park,
That's a read.
oh, okay.
So
Oh,
it's an event that Parks and Rec puts on,
okay.
and we're just tabling it. We're just attending it as a city event. So we're just there to give out information to the parents, and then to, we'll do a little arts and craft activity with the kids And actually, there's a whole agenda this year. It's not like previous years. It's a whole different agenda set up. So they have games in the morning, designated games, designated tabling area. So it's like an all-day thing, much longer than previous years in the past.
So, where do you find the agenda?
I'm not too sure if the agenda's posted online. I know they sent it
Okay.
out to staff who's attending it, but I'll
Okay.
Google it, and if I or I'll pull what we have and I'll send it out. I'm sure it's posted online, but I'll send it out to Isaac.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Cool. That's nice.
I didn't
All
mean
right.
to interrupt.
No,
That's
that,
about
no.
I think that's about it before we get to the through the holidays.
Okay, the 2025 annual outreach.
So, we're getting ready. The HHW will and the tree cycle and holiday schedule will go out in the December bill. The recycling calendar will be in the January. A couple of changes on the holiday and the HHW. HHW, due to the extreme heat we've been having, we're going to be cutting out the summer months, June, July, and August. So it'll be only 9 drop-offs, in 2025. And then, as far as the holidays, last year the drivers decided that they only want to take off for 3 holidays during the year: New Year's, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. All other holidays, they're going to work. For them, if they take the day, then that means they have to work on the weekend, and they would rather just have the weekend off. So that's a big change.
Okay. And then the last one, nowhere to throw, town hall.
That's the word two
That's the
event.
word too. Okay, he yeah. And he put that in his newsletter. So he does a good job. Okay. Let's see. Who's doing the collections? Frank or
That's going to be me, we'll say.
Jose. Okay,
Are we
good.
jumping over code enforcement or?
No, that's lower.
Oh, I have minus shows it as number 4.
Oh,
Either or.
did I print out the wrong one?
Mine says revised, so I don't know.
Okay, I didn't print it out. So, 4 is going to be code enforcement.
Yes, and good afternoon. It's
Okay,
Lori.
hi, Lori.
Hi.
Okay, all right. Here to hear. We're here to hear about the new inspectors. So,
So yes, we have 3 items. So it'll be new code inspectors, an update on the Vance and Lien's foreclosure project, and then just a brief summary of the code enforcement process for work without permits. Is
okay.
my video coming through? I doesn't look.
No, we're not seeing you.
Yeah, I always have trouble. Well, at least the volume is. I'll start off. New code inspector. So we did a or completed a recruitment process for inspectors. It completed a little over a month ago, and this Monday we started 2 new people. And these were people who came from other departments within the city. We just started take them right out into the field, mirroring other inspectors just to get their feet wet. And so far, so good. It's very exciting. I received word we're going to have another new inspector on the 18th.
Okay.
So 4 weeks. And I think there could be another, but that's tentative for now.
Okay, so that brings us up to is that 13 or 14? or
Yeah, I think
more?
we had with Martin, although Martin's an interim supervisor, but with him there was 11, and then we're
Right.
adding 5, so the 16.
So plus two and plus one so far, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Well, and then technically one of our we had two CSOs, and one of the CSOs had applied and did get the job. So technically three people did start on Monday, but one of them is already within our department and already has quite a bit of training on how to do the job. So it's just a
Oh.
matter of a title change, really.
Okay. And then one CSO.
So now we're down to one CSO.
Oh, down to. Okay.
Down two, right.
All right. Okay. All righty. So, well, we're getting there. Carlos promised me.
Well, yeah, we are, and it's once we're all up and trained, it'll be great. You know,
Okay.
we'll be able to start hitting some of the stuff that gets kind of overlooked due to some of the emergency and diversional type of jobs, like trespassing and vacant houses and such.
Right.
So speaking of vacant houses, bans, and the lien foreclosure project. So with the enhanced bans project, part of the new added features we have is we send out something called a pre-notification letter. So when we get a referral that we're going to turn into a vans case, we'll send that out before we really even do an inspection, just to kind of give the owner notice that we've identified it as a vacant and/or nuisance structure, and to start doing something within 30 days. Then we'll go out, do a more formal inspection, and then issue the traditional vans notice, which is 60 days. So by our code, we have to issue a 60-day notice, and it
Okay.
has to be legally served.
Okay.
So that's something that delays some action sometimes, but
Sure.
we've taken to publishing them so we don't lose any time with that.
The formal is after 30 days after the pre-notification.
Right.
30. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
And you know, it's only been a few that we've started this on, but I think already, and I don't know which property it is, but I think one property like sold, like we sent it, and then it was sold like 30 days later. So,
Then you have to start all over.
no, well, you know, like it sold to someone who's going to take action, you know,
Oh.
and that's kind of what we want is like, okay, if you're going to do nothing with this, you can't fix it up. Let, you know, sell to somebody who will. You know,
Okay.
so that's part of it. So that gives them a little bit more of a prompt. The foreclosure project, the three I'd started off with are with the city attorney's office for moving forward that way. That's where they kind of have to take over for the legal process, where they'll file a suit with Superior Court if they can't get the owner to pay off the liens. My part of it is I send out a demand letter, which is alternately titled Intent to Foreclose, requesting the outstanding balance of any liens that are on that property. But the ones they did were kind of high dollar ones. So, you know, those are the ones that are probably unlikely to be paid immediately. So it's not a mystery that it's going to go to city attorney's office for further action.
Okay. Well.
Well, and then we have one on, it's 1742 North Oracle. That property's the Hacienda Motel. And if you've driven by there recently, you'll notice that, you know, it's covered in graffiti. You know, we fenced it, boarded it again Friday, this past Friday. Well, I found out, well, one, it's in the band's program and the lien foreclosure. But I discovered that the owner's financing went through and they're foreclosing on the property. And that auction's in December. So, well, and the attorney for that person is saying they have a buyer. So I think that's a positive outcome if that's true. They have a buyer who's going to get a management company and hopefully do something with it. So.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. So it's keeping you busy.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And then item three for the enforcement process for work without permits.
Yes. So with this, you know, there really isn't any big difference in our process, except we typically will give 30 days outright. And I'm going to share a flowchart I have. Let me see if I can bring it up. If Brittany, if you could enable my sharing feature, that would be awesome.
Yes, I don't sorry.
Know oh, that's okay. I got to find where I...
Okay.
Now, where did I... Now I got to find my... Here we go. All right. Share screen. Okay. So here's a flowchart of our general process. You know, starting with the case created, and that comes from a constituent report. So we get that, create the case, assign it to inspector, generally by zone. We issue a notice once the violations are identified, you know, and that's where if it's something that requires a permit, it's going to be immediately like 30 days. And what's not in here is if they start the process, or, you know, they start making contact with planning development services, there's always possibility for an extension, you know, because our goal is to get the compliance, you know, because ultimately if we issue a ticket, we move forward, we can't get the permit for them. This is really something where the owner has got to do the work. So in a reasonable process, we want them to get this. We'll help educate them. You know, this is what you do to get a permit. The website has a lot of information on how to do this, or you can hire someone. And we go through the process. If they get the permit, it's issued, they're getting inspections, we may close the case. If they do nothing, we will write a ticket. And that process can go on for quite some time for the same reasons. You know, it could be an elderly person who's unsure of how to go about it or how to hire someone to help them. So it's sometimes that extends the process.
Lori, what we're seeing is people are ignoring all of that and are still building. So the ADUs are completed without things like being asked to resubmit. So some of the cases, you know, they've been asked to resubmit their plans for the permit, like, you know, three sure. times, and every time they wait as long as they can. And so anyhow, that's what we're dealing with. And so maybe I can send you an address that we've been concerned about.
Yeah,
that's in that situation. So that's something I just wanted to bring up, because you guys need to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That what are you going to do when somebody has built an ADU without permits and It's already done, and so what's the city going to do? Have you talked about that? Because they're pushing all these ADUs, and we know that a lot of them are going to go up without permits.
Well, one, we gotta, if we get it reported, we'll file through with the case. And it's, yeah, if it's already built, they're gonna have to get it approved, and ultimately what they built is gonna have to fit, what they got approved for,
Well, they're gonna make them tear it down. I mean, that's the, it's kind of really, I think it's really something that really
that
needs to be discussed in depth, because we're seeing
could be. That could
yeah.
be. I'm reminded of a case of someone who built an unattached garage in the front of their yard during the pandemic. And they actually submitted plans and got approval, but what they built was very different.
Okay.
yeah. So it took a while, but they ended up actually having to remove, like 5 feet of the entire structure away from the front of the property line, and modify it that way. But I mean, I agree. It can they
Well,
build entirely without permit? It makes it all that much more difficult.
and plus it starts out with an inviolation. If it's being reported, and so we know violations take a long time,
Right.
and then PTSD becomes involved, and so like I said, there's just review completed, require resubmit, requires resubmit, and so something that starts earlier in the year is.
Can take a while.
Yeah, the last I think the last resubmit was in August of 2024. So I think sometimes that stuff gets lost because I know you're all really busy.
Yeah, let me know what the address is, and I'll look it up and do the research.
Okay. Yeah, there's a few. So,
Okay.
but
Yep.
okay. All right. Any questions for Lori? I kind of hogged it. So, okay. Well, thank you. Thanks for letting
Welcome.
us know how your new job is going.
Yeah, nice talking to everyone. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. So, since I didn't print out the new agenda, are we back to collections and Jose? Okay, there we go. Jose, you're on.
How's everybody doing today?
Okay.
So, as you all may know, and I think we talked a bit about it, Brush and Bulky being 2.5 weeks about, last month. I think it was about a month ago. So one of the things that we did over since we last spoke, we did a memo going out to all the employees and the supervisors. So on
Yes.
October 14th, we got the memo. We received the memo. We gave it to all the employees. We made sure we let them know that, we were going to start assigning them overtime. One of the things for assigning overtime, the things that we did for that is, trying to get more people and help out the Brush and Bulky because, we were running behind. And like, as we last talked, it was about, it was just a perfect storm that happened during the monsoon, helping out other areas, other neighborhoods, picking up a lot of the debris that came down. So after the memo was set up, one of the things is deciding how do we start assigning them? How do we start making some of these employees, we're going to start assigning them. So what we thought about is we have seven new employees that had just started, which they're on probation. So instead of, using the employees to help out with Brush and Bulky, we use the seven new employees that are on probation to come out and help out the Brush and Bulky. Brush and Bulky typically in a normal work week, depending on what the if we have call-ins or if we have other things that are going on. You know, we usually have anywhere from six and five to six, seven crews per week or during the week. Right now, with those seven employees, you know, we're up, we can get up to 8 to 10 crews, depending, you know, on the work week and how many employees we have. So we can have anywhere from 8 to 10 crews. So that's been helping out. That's cut it down in the last couple of weeks. It's cut it down to we're only behind 1 week as of right now. But one of the challenges that we're getting into when we kicked off the assigned overtime, we started getting into the heaviest areas of city of Tucson, which Area 22, that's far east, Rita Ranch. And, you know, over the years, it's been growing, a lot of new residents. So, and then, you know, new residents, but at the same time, Rita Ranch is getting older, more stuff that's being put out, set out. So that you know, and it's a large area. So we went to Area 22, 23. It's one of our largest area too. It's also growing. Area 24, there's always a big set out of brush and bulky illegal dumps, you know, that happens in that area.
Was that the one at Barrio Nopal that Christina was on the TV about?
Actually, this was Area 24. That's going to be the Vistas. That's the Vistas. Around 36. Okay. Yeah, 36 in Campbell area.
Okay.
Yeah, the Vistas. Yeah, usually we, you know, and we know about the situation. It's always, you know, big set out and a lot of illegal dumping. But then we get to Area 25, which was the superstar Christina Paldro was on the on the news. Yeah, so right now we're still there. We just started it this week on Monday. We started sending crews. Actually, we started sending crews on Saturday. You know, a lot of the schools, they were getting a lot of illegal dumps around the schools. So we had to go out there and make sure, you know, make it safe for the kids. So we made sure we cleaned up, you know, around the bus stops, around the schools, pick, you know, servicing, whatever, you know, because a lot of times when these people come in illegally dump, and I'll show you guys some pictures right now, what happens is the kids have to walk on the street, you know, on the roadway. So we, you know, try to make it safe for them. So we were out there on Saturday and taking care of them. So far, it's been working good with those employees that are, you know, that we have sent out here. We are still assigning some of that overtime so it can help out the residential and also with the on the commercial side, because, you know, we're just short staff. We did go through a recruitment and it looks like we exhausted the list. All the vacancies are filled, but right now we're using those employees to help out on the brush and bulky. Let me see if I can share my screen. Give me that permission, Brittany.
What's the magic word? I'm just kidding.
Por favor. Por favor.
There you go.
Let me see what comes up on here. Hold on. Let's be this one. Are you guys able to see that?
No. There it is. Yeah, is that the one that was on TV?
No,
yeah.
Oh, actually, this is earlier. The one that was on TV, I believe, it's going to be south of Valencia.
Yeah.
This is south of the picture that you see here is north of Valencia. So not only are we, you know, we're getting the illegal dump that's happening on the south side of Valencia, you know, we're also getting it on the north side of Valencia. One of the things that we've seen in the past is that we got Nogales Highway that runs along that edge of the Barrio Nopal. So one of the things that we've encountered in the past is that as soon as people start seeing trash that are being set out by, you know, by residents on Nogales Highway, this is when the illegal starts to happen. You know, they'll dump in empty lots, they'll dump it out in the middle of the street.
Well, in front yards, I saw.
What's that?
Right across from the school. I saw they were dumping them in front of people's yards.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And,
yards.
And, yeah, exactly. And that's what that whole area was cleaned up on Monday. Well, Saturday and Monday, we cleaned up that area there. But, you know, if we start on Saturday, Sunday, they're already dropping stuff off again. So it's one of those ongoing issues that we're having there in that area, especially in this area. That's where it's mostly happened. This morning, I got a call from the acting supervisor letting me know, hey, just to let you know that north of Valencia, it's the same way as south of Valencia. Let me go to the next picture.
That's too bad.
Yeah, and this, like I said, this is north of it, but this basically that's what it looked like on south of Valencia. But when you got stuff on the roadway, we made sure that we're cleaning everything up. We put the tires aside, making sure that the tires are put to the side, so that way we can have some kind of walkway for the public.
So it's household goods. I mean, some of it looks like clothing and things. Is it people moving out? People just stuffed in front of
the county.
Yeah, this is.
They're in the county. Yeah. And they're bringing it in.
Yeah, so what's happening, like I mentioned earlier, when the setups are starting to begin, when they see it on Nogales Highway, people that are traveling, and most of it, we've seen it come from Summit, it's further down south, and it's out of the city limits. So we're getting a lot of these people that as soon as they see that, what they're doing, they're coming in and then just dropping the stuff off. I've caught a couple of people, making them make sure that they pick it up. But, there are times if we don't have any surveillance or anybody that's out there, 24/7, it continues. We have put up signs out there for illegal dumping. They just put it right on top of the illegal sign and around it. It's an ongoing problem here at these locations. Let me see.
Have we tried talking to the county at all about their need to do some of this so the city isn't bearing the cost and the problem?
We have. I mean, we've got them involved, but it's one of the things, who's going to go out there and who's going to give them, hey, you can't be dumping out there. We do find addresses, mm-hmm. but if nobody sees it happening and taking pictures of who's doing it, there's nothing that we can do. There's people that, we got residents that have pictures that have, they have license plate, but yeah. If you take this to court, they have to be present in order to prove, yes, mm-hmm. I seen them. Yes, they did it, and nobody wants to do that, and when you got residents going out there and
sure.
trying to let the people know, hey, you can't be doing this, they get violent, they get violent. They already know that it's, hey, leave me alone. It's none of your business, and people just step away from it. They just don't want no problems.
So I was thinking more at a larger scale that you take these pictures and take addresses and, people have seen the cars and so forth to the Board of Supervisors and say, your people are doing this. Either you should start your own program or you should pay us, I don't know, $100,000 a year so that we can put together another crew just to handle this illegal dumping.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it seems crazy to that we should keep bearing these costs. And I agree with you, once it's cleared off, they're going to come back when they see that brush and bulky is going to come around. It's such a wonderful service.
Yeah. Well, and I think we talked about it on our last meeting. Well, one of the things that we're trying to do is on demand, especially for some of these areas that are here like this, if we do the on demand, we can at least, hey, give us a call. You got 13, one of the things that we came up with is you got 13 available times that, you want us to go out there and pick up your brush and bulk. And I think this would cut it down. It's just trying to get the ward offices and, everybody involved so that way we can get them on board. So, they can let us do that. So, yeah, I mean, we're working on it, so at least cut down. But I do like, what you were saying about the Board of Supervisors. Maybe that's another step that we can also take. I'm not sure if in the past, Christina, I don't know if we've ever done this, if we've even tried.
I wouldn't have a lot of faith in that because, they used to pay for half of the HHW program and they pulled out of that. So,
I understand that. But I would just, make a fairness pitch. I mean, now you charge HHW, non-city residents $10, which is fine. But in this sense, they're causing problems for children. They're causing problems with stuff on the streets. It seems to me that they have some sort of responsibility to.
The biggest, I think the biggest problem is that The schedule is public and people know when it's going to happen. And they've been doing it for years.
Yeah, I know. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't step up and try to talk to them about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, anyway, that's just one idea. I mean, I do think it's outrageous that we have to pick up. It's bad enough that we pick up on all the homeless folks. And I know I see things in the newspaper where, you know, the city came and cleaned it up and next week it was a mess and they came and cleaned it up again. And some of the city folks are getting, you know, sort of pissed off about having to keep paying for the cleanup. Nobody says stop it, but, you know, there's a fairness issue.
Let me see if I'm able to play this video. And this is going to be south of Valencia, where Christina was when she got interviewed. Let me see if I'm able to play this for you.
The house that I was telling you about was
illegal dump sites.
Yep. And then the people who lived there, you know, that were being interviewed, I mean, they're just devastated.
Look at that mess.
I mean, yeah, they're just devastated.
Illegal dump signs here.
Yeah.
That's insane.
No, it's when I saw the.
How long does it take for that to build up? I mean, is that a month's worth, a week?
No, it starts building a couple of weeks. As soon as, you know, a lot of the residents, you know, it's like yourselves. I'm sure if you use a brush and bulky, you know, we let the residents know, okay, 2 weeks in advance, go ahead and start taking your stuff out. You know, as soon as the people look at the schedule, oh, they're going to be here. Some people might take it out, you know, a month or 3 weeks. Yeah. You know, if we catch those people that are setting it out a month or 2 months, sometimes we'll get a, you know, we'll make contact with the residents and let them know, look, hey, you can't be setting stuff out, not just yet.
Yeah.
So we do contact them. We let them know, you know, so for the next time, you know, but it just, like Christina was saying, they know, they see the schedule. They know that it's coming. They know that it's going to be soon, you know. And then with this neighborhood here, Barrio Nopal, where it goes from Nogales Highway to 12th Avenue. So what happens a lot of the times, it's, you know, on west of 12th Avenue, it's a different area. So if that area, they start setting out the stuff because they're going to be receiving the brush and bulky. So the people on the east side of 12th Avenue, oh, here comes brush and bulky. We're going to have it here in a couple of weeks. It might not be a month and a half later, but they start. So it trickles down. You know, as soon as it's monkey see, monkey do, okay, brush and bulky is going to be here. So it just travels to gets to Nogales Highway. People start setting out their stuff, and then that's when the mess starts.
I'm surprised that it doesn't burn.
You know? No, as a matter of fact, you know, it has. Last 2 weeks ago, we got a call from code enforcement letting us know that, you know, they lit not on this site, it was on another site. Because it's not just at this location, it's different locations. So they lit it on fire. You know, they burned, I think it was a telephone pole, some electric lines. Yeah, somebody just lit it on fire. So we went out there, cleaned it up, you know, but it's just, these are the things that, you know, make us get behind with the brush and bulk. That's why I was kind of showing you guys the videos. And this stuff like this, you know, it holds us up, you know, like in this area. That we picked up here, you know, instead of pulling one truckload in that little neighborhood, we're pulling five truckloads.
Wow.
Sometimes six, sometimes seven trucks of just illegal dump that's happening.
That's 20 or 30 tons of brush.
Yes.
Bulky, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Jose, in Midtown, we get a lot of rogue landscapers.
Yes. That's, and you know, it happens in all the areas. You know, you have landscapers that, you know, that are going up and down streets and they, oh man, brush and bulky is going to be here. One of the things that they do is the landscapers, they'll tie, you know, their load, they'll tie it around a telephone pole, you know, and just because, you know, when we get there, you can still see the rope is tied. They just drop it and go and you can see clearly, you know, it's a square box. Okay. Somebody just came and dumped it out.
Dumped it. Yeah.
So we get a lot of that in different areas, but right now the hardest hit is going to be, you know, areas 24 and 25, the Vistas and this area. So we're working on it. Hopefully in the future, you know, if we can get the word offices on board to do the on demand And that's something that we're working on. Hopefully we can convince them, you know, at least I'm sure that the neighborhood would like that, because I think it's going to prevent a lot of the this illegal dump that's happening.
So
Oh, that's good.
explain to me what you're saying. What I hear you saying is that there's an illegal dump like you showed us. The person whose house is near that calls the ward office and said, there's an illegal dump by our place. And then the ward office asks for an on-demand and pays for it out of their office m
No.
money, or just they
No.
get it picked up on demand.
No, we would pilot the program where the neighborhood would, every home would still get two free pickups, but they would
Right.
get them when they wanted them. They would call to schedule them.
And that's what they do in California. So,
Okay, I see. So
yeah.
B&B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've talked to other cities. The city of Phoenix is they just started it about a month ago.
Good.
Yeah, they started it up there, but they, you know, on our side, you know, we're trying to convince the ward office in the city of Phoenix. They were told, do this, because they were 6 months behind with the
Wow.
city of Phoenix. Yeah, they were 6 months behind. So like, hey, what's going on? I need you guys to do some type, you know, start changing it. So they're working on it. They just started it. You know, we've been talking to them to see how it's going. Like I said, you know, we're picking areas to pilot to see how this is going to work. You know what I mean? And most of these pilots that we're looking at, you know, it's areas like this, you know, and trying to see if it, you know, what the outcome is, what's, you know, what would happen if we go this route. So we're working on it and trying to see if we can get this going.
Okay, so you're thinking that the efficiency of the crews would not change much. That if
Yeah.
you're jumping around the city, or you have one crew in area one and another crew in area two, or however you set it up.
Yeah, actually what would happen is that yeah, we would have to create two more crews, but what would happen, we would keep the areas that are on the map, we'd still go and collect. That's not going to change anything. You know, we'd still go out there and collect. Everything would stay on schedule, but we would have two special crews doing this type of work, you know, going out and you know, and whoever placed the work order in for us to go out there and service them, we'll go out there and service them during certain weeks, whenever their week is available.
But it starts with contacting your ward office first.
Yeah, we've been talking to them. Christina's been going out, you know,
Okay.
she's brought it up to their attention, you know. I know that Carlos in the past, he's talked to them, you know, and right now it's moving, but slowly, you know, trying to see if we can get in, you know, get them on board.
You know, we notice is that the tonnages and the number of loads really goes up and down during the year,
Right.
because some areas are just way heavier than others. And so, you know, the issue around staffing is such that it's very hard for us to keep our staffing levels where they need to be for these entry level positions. And it's going to get harder and harder. The city is continuing to grow. We really, you know, we have our crews out there working 52 weeks out of the year. So it's not like we can break up some of these areas and add more weeks because there are no more weeks.
Oh my gosh, I wish you could create more weeks in a year.
Yeah.
So,
I would love that. But yeah,
yeah,
I
so.
hear you. I hear
You
you.
know, so we think that by doing this, you know, we know how many loads we can pick up in a week,
Right.
and we can schedule those, and then we can at least manage the workload with the staff that we have, as opposed, you know, because there are weeks where we're in an area where it's lighter and they can finish easily in a few days. And then there's others like 23, 22, 23, 24, 25. Where it's very, you know, I mean, Rita Ranch, well, Ward 4, Area 22 has over 10,000 households in that area. 23 has over 11,000. Most other areas have about five.
So the issue, yeah, is really that you need to divide those up and get two more. Two more is done. But that's kind of a different issue than having the county folks come in and, take advantage
Well,
of it.
but these are all the air. This is but it's a multitude of problems. It's
It's a
not just the illegal
Oh,
dumping.
yeah.
And the
Can you
fact
set up
that,
cameras?
and then with, but you still need police to do it,
Yeah.
to issue the citations. And that's been difficult as well. And, in areas like Rita Ranch, they haven't been around for very long. Their landscaping is maturing, so their loads are getting heavier and heavier.
Well, that seems to me, that's really a function of the fact you have so many more houses in the area. I mean,
Yeah, but
some are at 5,000 and some are at 10,000. I mean, obviously that's double the amount of work.
it's not necessarily based on just the number of households because there's a lot of areas in Midtown that are smaller, but because they're older and have much more mature landscaping, the loads can be very heavy.
Yes, right. But this is not landscaping. I mean, not much of it. Some of it is.
Well,
It's
this is not,
household. It's
but
household materials, which is why I'm trying to understand, is it people moving out? Is it people
no, this is just people having
have
junk.
old stuff and getting rid of it, and then the old tires are they've been sitting around, obviously, and somebody wants to get rid of them because they're wife told him get rid of the tires, or the man told
I
him
think
get rid of the
it's I
tires.
personally I think it's people who haul for a living and they don't want to pay to go to the land to the landfill. That's just my opinion. I don't know if Jose has a better idea about it.
It's we're all gonna have different opinions. It can be just a normal resident that like Christina was saying, I don't want to go to the landfill. And they're just gonna drop stuff. You got haulers, you have landscapers, you have it's just a little bit of everything.
Well, sometimes with renters, I live in an area that's 74% rental. So when people move out, they always, it seems like they always leave a sofa and a mattress and all that stuff. So, and then we have to go through the code enforcement steps to get it cleaned up. So, and that takes a long time. So.
And that's one of the things that we do, that we, if we like empty lots, there are businesses that have gone away and they leave a big empty lot. That's, hey, come and dump in my yard, so we'll go out there and we'll get a hold of code enforcement. Do you have an address? Is there something that, someone that we can contact? We'll contact the customer and we'll let them know, look, you got illegal dumping. We've cleaned it up last year. Now it's up to you to get it cleaned up, because they have to fence it off. They have to make sure, we've gotten fences up. So, I mean, we're making that contact. We're putting a little bit of dent in it, not as fast as we would like, but, we do contact those people, just letting them know, there's even been times where I found addresses and there's numbers, I'll call. But there's only so much I can do. I can scare them
Sure.
a little bit, but there's only so much, I can do also.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think of how, in a policy way, in a program development way, that, this kind of thing could be handled in a more equitable fashion, because it's also not nice for the people living there.
Yeah, no, it's not. Like I said, I've
Awful.
talked to all those residents that are along that street. I've talked to all of them. I've You know, I the only thing that I can do is just, have the crews clean it up and
Sure.
take care of it, but the problem isn't solved yet. That's I just try to make them happy, and
Yeah.
it's hard. It's hard to, something
Ah,
that happens
honestly,
every 6 months, every six
yeah.
months, same way. So,
They
but
just they would rather us end the program in their neighborhood than have to put up with this.
yes.
Would it really end it? Wouldn't they then just pick another place to go and start dumping? Or even dump it even if fresh and bulky isn't coming? I mean, I'm not. I remember Yolanda talking endlessly about certain areas where week after week after week they came and dumped stuff. And even one thing, the green is that almost looks like one of the green recycling containers. I don't know where.
Sorry, I put my mouse on it. No, it's one of those Christmas buckets.
Is it Christmas? It's right there, I think there. Well,
Yeah.
no, it's right here with the
Oh.
palms. with a palm over it next to those two funny white things, whatever those white sausages are.
Well,
Anyway, it's irrelevant.
it's gross. It's gross. Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, this really does need to be tackled. I really feel for those people, not to mention the kids. Thank you for thinking of them. Or a
Yeah.
bicycle. I mean, supposedly a bicycle would be along that area, and this would be just terrible to.
What channel was that? Because you can look at the people getting interviewed. Was that 13?
I believe it was Channel 4, I believe. Right, Christina?
Yeah, it was Channel 4.
Channel 4. Okay. Yeah.
I should have taken the after pictures, after the we got everything cleaned up. So, but everything that you see here has been cleaned up,
Yeah.
and we cleaned it up. That was our first start. Let's start in this area. Let's get it cleaned up. So, but
How many is that, about two truckloads or one truckload
oh
or?
no, this one yesterday, it was on Monday. They were on Monday. They were out there. There was four. They probably pulled about 8 truckloads out of there.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
And they, boy.
You ever find any hazardous waste in that stuff?
We do. There are some times where we'll find, that people leave paints, people leave, buckets. And one of
Thinners
the things
and
that we do, we separate those. We'll leave them there, but then we get a hold of the fire department. We're dispatched, so the fire department will go out there and get rid rid of it.
right.
Yeah.
What an ordeal. That's
Yes.
crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
The current policy is not working. We really need to think of something else. Yeah.
well,
We're
what
gonna keep trying. We're gonna keep trying and see if
yeah.
we get to the point.
Yeah, it's not a criticism. It's just an observation that we need to put, lots of minds together. And part of
Well,
that is figuring out.
the reason we like the appointment based is because, and a lot of other cities are moving toward that. Phoenix did it, Peoria's done it, Chandler, Mesa. We hear Austin is moving in that direction as well, is because we're all facing the same issues. We're having staffing issues. Growth is going on in our communities, and we just, we have to figure out other ways to handle the program.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, but we are slowly but surely, we are moving along, get everything serviced. Hopefully by the we had we continuing. I forgot to mention we did we were hopefully we were planning to see if we can have everything serviced before or caught up before Thanksgiving, but it looks like stuff like this is just holding us back. So we
Sure.
did an extension on that memo for the assigned overtime. So we extended it to December 6th. I think by then we should be okay. We should be, all caught up. And on the next meeting, well, I'll make sure and let you give you guys an update of how we are, how we're
Yeah.
doing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank
Because
you.
I know neighborhoods are complaining, but
Yeah.
it the more you get on and it helps if you get on the news or whatever. I mean, you should, that would be something to keep doing.
Yeah.
That gets people's attention. So,
When
all
people
right, we
put
should move
dumpsters
on.
out there, would
Yeah.
the big dumpsters out there help? Would people put it in the dumpsters rather than
Oh
sitting on
no.
the ground?
No,
That would
that's
just
yeah,
attract more people.
it's gonna make it worse. Yeah, that
Yeah.
we try to avoid that. I know some neighborhoods, they get to, have dumpsters, but this is one of the neighborhoods that we will not, put dumpsters out there. It's a shame that, the and I live in that neighborhood, pretty close to it. And on my side, we don't get as much as they do here. It's only closer to Nogales Highway.
Well, that's a
There's
lot
a
of work.
neighborhood that I work with that used to always get roll-offs for their cleanup. They won't do it anymore because it gets filled with people like haulers, landscapers. Everybody comes and fills it, and then there's no room for their neighborhood people to put stuff in it. So they just stopped.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll give you guys a quick update on the
On equipment.
on equipment. Still waiting on our. I think we reviewed it the last time. Still waiting, for some of the side loaders that we placed in FY 23. Still waiting on those excuse me, side loaders, and some of the equipment we still have. The only thing that we've had change that we've is Perkins, the food waste truck. We did receive it, you know, when we were doing the demo, when they were doing the demo and actually training us on the food waste truck, it wasn't working anymore. So right now they're looking at the hydraulic system part of it. They're having a failure with the hydraulic, so we haven't been able to use it. We started using it. I think we picked up like three stops, and then the hydraulic just stopped working. Right now we have the vendor that's been coming out here and trying to see what the problem is. We do have the other one that's ready, the second food waste truck, but we haven't signed for it until we know for sure that this truck is, you know, ready to go. Other than that, everything else, as we spoke the last time, you know, we're looking at October, well, November, December now for, you know, from the order that we had in 23. Still waiting for the side loaders, waiting for some roll-offs. FY 24 also, you know, waiting for those to be delivered. One of the things that they're running into is, you know, parts, getting those parts and getting them installed so that way they can get delivered. So, but we're staying on top of when the that delivery is going to happen.
Jose, are you guys driving around the electric truck? The
No, as a matter of fact, the electric truck right now, it's ready to go. One of the things, and I think we spoke about it on the electric truck, is that we didn't have nowhere to charge it at the time when we received it. So right now, as a matter of fact, I think this week or next week, we had a new where we're going to be charging at. It was installed. Right now, we're waiting on Tucson Electric to come out here, so that way they can activate it and make sure, you know, that everything is safe for us to use. But we're getting pretty close to it. We have gotten together with fleet services and, you know, upper management, because, you know, I know you guys had a lot of questions about the EV truck, and, you know, those questions, save them until once we get this thing going, you know. But we are, you know, trying to get something going because we are the only ones right now. And I think here in Tucson, I think there's one up in Phoenix, but I'm not too sure if they're even using it either. So right now we're just, you know, figuring out, you know, what data do we need, what route are we going to put, who's going to be responsible, who's going to be on the truck, how long can this truck go out, how much does the truck weigh, how much can, you know. So we're gathering all the information that we need so that way when we have it up and going, it's we, you know, we're ready to go.
What's the company you buy it from?
It's a Freightliner. It's a Freightliner with wait, excuse me. Where the heck is it? Yeah, it's a Freightliner with the crane carrier body or the chassis. It's a crane carrier. It's similar to the rear loaders that we have, the box ones. I'm not sure if you guys seen them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crane carrier, Freightliner crane
Look,
carrier.
it says battle, or what is it on the front?
Yes, the crane carrier battle. Yeah, they
Oh,
changed the name on it. Yeah.
that's okay.
Yeah.
I
Battle motors.
know battle. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's supposed to be battle motors.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Okay,
That was
thank
a
you.
lot. We better head on to item five for the Los Reales, the landfill operations and bifusion construction. So, Frank,
Hi, everyone.
you've been busy too.
Hello. So on the landfill operations, I do want to update everyone that you can hear me, right?
Little, it's a little soft, but okay.
Is that any better?
Okay.
That's a little better, yeah.
Yeah, a little better. Some static.
Update everyone that I'm not sure if I've updated this before yet or up to now, but we are back in cell 4B. Margaret was out here during the Halloween tour, and she got to see cell 4B in operation. And the reason why we weren't down there for several months was because we were installing the horizontal collectors for the landfill gas. We installed those, we put those in the first layer. And so now we're back in operation. The other update on landfill operations is that we received a notice of violation from Pima County Air Quality.
Uh-oh.
And this happened back in March. We had an on-site inspection where the EPA inspectors actually came in with Pima County. And they did some monitoring of landfill gas. So they did find some exceedances. We quickly repaired everything, but it's taken all this time for them to actually respond to us as to what action they were gonna take. So they issued us a notice of violation. They basically just have asked us to respond as to what we're doing to mitigate the issues. But we did that 30 days right after that first inspection. So we've been in compliance since. So we're hoping that it's just going to be, and I'm fairly confident, it's just gonna be more of a response to the agency and not necessarily face any kind of penalties or fees. Okay. I did also, and I think maybe Margo mentioned that I give a presentation at her class, the OLLI class, that happened on October 17th.
You did a great job. Very well done.
And then there's another issue that happened is that we actually had an accident out here where one of our water trucks was rolled. And I want to show you some pictures. Brittany, can I?
I gave you co-host capability. There might be a notice on the top where you have to accept it. Or maybe it was automatically approved to you.
Can you see that? No. Share.
Looks like it's coming up. There we go.
There it is. Ooh.
So this is our water truck. It's actually our new water truck that was tipped over. The actual truck chassis, nothing happened to it. And it's an articulated truck, so having it lay over that way doesn't actually damage it, except that the tank itself has some damage. Let me see if I can find the other picture.
Was the driver okay?
Yeah, driver is fine. She was actually one of our temp operators. But she didn't have any injuries just in relation to this. So it wasn't a very powerful accident. It was that the tank and the weight of the water basically pulled that tank over and laid it
down. So the cause was the speed then?
The cause was speed. Mm-hmm. So we figured that she was going down. She was going down into South Obese. She was going down too fast. And there's a turn that you have to make. So she basically just went too fast on that turn. I just wanted to share that.
Amazing.
The best news, but it's part of operations. Sometimes accidents do happen.
You know, I'm curious, Frank. Does it seem like with an articulated truck, especially a water truck, is that you don't feel it tipping at all until it pulls the whole body over?
Or yeah.
Mistaken?
Right. I mean, it's because that's how it's designed. And basically, once she was stopped by rolling over is when she realized.
Yeah, because you don't feel it sitting in the seat.
No, you don't.
Because the tank's back there, and it's probably worse half full than it is totally full because it's sloshing around so much.
Yeah, if it was half full, exactly.
Because then it's sloshing.
So that is basically safety, and it's something that operators need to always keep in mind, is that when they're hauling this water, it's heavy. And so they have to be cognizant of speed and their surroundings.
I guessed.
How big is that tank on that, Frank?
8,000.
That's a lot of water.
8,000 gallons, yes.
Wow.
That 8 pounds a gallon?
Correct.
Okay, are you going to update us on Bifusion?
I'll give you an update on Bifusion. The construction. We held our pre-construction meeting out here on October 16th. BFL is the contractor that's going to be doing the work. The project's going to be roughly around $3.4 million. So they'll be building the Bifusion shell warehouse and the roads and the parking lots that are associated with this building.
The building, roads, and parking lots.
So there, even though we had the pre-construction meeting on the 16th, they haven't even mobilized on site because they're still waiting for their permit from PDSD. So as soon as they get the permit, then they'll be coming out and starting the work. Starting to get set up. The area where they are, if you remember, the area where Bifusion is going used to be our drop-off recycling, our tires, our metal. We've moved and cleared everything and already established a new location for those items.
Okay. Yeah, I think you showed us on a map once.
I did, right.
Yeah. So,
and just the final thing on Bifusion is that we are storing the hard to recycle plastics here at the landfill.
Okay.
I think we have roughly around 240 bales currently.
240, okay. All right. Well, you got rid of all the stuff at Freeman, right?
Yes, so we cleared everything out of that.
Okay.
Except for whatever new they accumulated since.
Okay. All right. Any questions for Frank? Nope. Thank you.
Sure.
You're free. All right, let's move on for future agenda items. Anyone?
Do we want to continue discussion of this wildcat dumping, or is it really sort of beyond what we can contribute that it's too much of a, you know, too many pieces going in and we don't have a full picture of it, or do we think we can add something to the discussion?
I'm curious what the ward office is thinking.
Yeah.
What they're doing, mayor
and council should be talking about this in a study session.
I mean, right? At least come up with three different ideas or something and try some pilot programs or like Christina, how far or how close are they on the on-demand or the appointment program?
Well, you know, we need to hear from it's from the city manager's office here within, you know, a couple of weeks, because we need to get the schedule done. Right now we're kind of behind schedule. We've talked to Ward 1. I think they would support it. Ward 4 would support it. Yeah, we would just like, you know, we wanted to pilot it earlier in the year, and we were just told not to do anything.
So do you have a white paper or one or two sheet, you know, paper side of exactly what you want to do and how it would work, or is it still just verbal?
No, we've written stuff.
Because maybe one of the things to do is if you've written some things that we can look at that and then talk about our wards. I mean, Chris is Ward 6 and I'm a city manager, but you know, I can work with one of the wards that doesn't have somebody looking after this.
Honestly, at this point, I think right now we just need to kind of let them figure what they want to do. I don't, you know.
Well,
and that'll be in the next 30 days or so?
No.
Hopefully.
Maybe sometime next year.
Oh. 6 months, I think. Yeah. That's
There's a chance to show my ignorance there.
Well, the holidays are coming too.
It's in the future.
Just so everybody knows too, I mean, we're gathering information. I know Carlos this week he had a meeting with the mayor and council, and you know, he's been bringing it up, so he's not letting it go, you know, so quickly. But it's trying to get them on board. You know, there's a couple of items that, you know, he's requesting, so that way we can show more, because we've given the maps, we've given them, you know, tonnages and all that good stuff. It's just right now it's at that point where, you know, they're asking for more information. So it's in the process, you know, but it's moving slowly, but yeah.
Okay. So when you come up with a regular plan, I think we would like to put a letter in or somehow show that their advisory committee has, you know, looked at it and, you know, that we want to support what it is you're doing, and that it needs to be pushed faster rather than slower, because I mean, the impact on the neighborhood and on children and so forth is just outrageous. I mean, I can see rat populations growing.
Yep.
All kinds of other things that aren't so pleasant. So, I mean, I think that's one thing we could do is put some push behind it.
Yeah, we'll definitely take the help. Like Christina was mentioning, you know, we are working on, you know, and whatever needs to support, you know, Carlos when he brings it up to mayor and council. But definitely we'll keep you guys, you know, posted. We'll let you guys know where we're at. And then once if we come up with the plan, you'll be the first to know what those plans are, and we'll take the help.
Okay. So let's put it on the agenda again, so that if it gets to move as fast as 30 days, that we can then.
Well, I'd like to, I'd like to see if Brittany can put it on the full ESAC that's coming up. And maybe Carlos could talk to us a little bit about
next week. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
I think that's a good idea.
The thing is, the news story is out there, right? I mean, it's a problem.
Not all of us watch local TV.
Yeah.
Confession. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, well, no, I think I'm going to see. I don't know if Brittany's still here.
I'm still here.
Okay.
Well, for full ESAC for November, it probably would not be a good option. Carlos will not be at next week's meeting.
We haven't seen him for months.
So I can put it on for December's meeting.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
I'd like for us to have it on next month so we can. Even if it's just a short update that is being worked on, or this is how you've thought about it, or something. So,
I have Fresh and Bulky on demand for full ESAC in December.
Okay.
Then we can come at them in the beginning of the year.
Sorry, I missed the Bifusion construction. Did you just say that the contract's been let and they're getting ready to break ground? Is that what he said? Or
that they were waiting on
permits from PDSD.
I know about that.
Story of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Murph.
I think it's time to let everybody go. So no call to audience, and number 9 adjournment, and it's 4:35 p.m. So, all right. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
See you next week. Yeah.